God is in love with us. In case you didn't know that. No, really, God really is in love with us. Thank the Lord for this opportunity to stand before you. I thank the pastor for giving me this opportunity. When I say that, I'm not just saying words. I am really thankful that God has allowed me this opportunity. And I thank my wife for her support and continued prayers. As Brother Colin mentioned, we're going to continue tonight in our study about what God wants to do in our lives. We're going to start with a quick review of what we've talked about the past few weeks. So a couple weeks ago, we started talking about sanctification. Does anybody know what sanctification is? You guys weren't here last or 2 weeks ago? Anybody, really? What is sanctification? Say again? Set aside for Christ. Okay, very good. That was the lesson that was taught a couple weeks ago. Sanctification, and I have it on your paper in case you weren't here or need a refresher, means to consecrate. It's the act or process of being made holy. Not just clean, but holy. To be set apart to God for His use and His pleasure. And that's the key part. Not just set apart, but set apart to God. It does you no good. Like when you wash dishes, for example, you don't just wash dishes, put them in the cabinet, and never use them again. You wash them because you want to use them, right? You want a clean dish. Sanctification is similar to that. God wants to use us, but before He can use us, He has to do a work in us. I like the definition that was mentioned last week. Restoring something to its proper function. Keep that in mind. We're going to come back to that in a little bit. Last week, we talked about the three gates. Do you know what the three gates are? Eyes, ears, and mouth. And we discussed how important it is to guard those three gates. Satan has come to steal, kill, and destroy. Period. That is his mission, his sole mission in life, is to steal, kill, and destroy. If you don't guard your gates, Satan will come in, and, well, you know the rest. So that was what we talked about last week, guarding the gates. This week, we're going to be talking about personal holiness. What does it look like? We're going to start out with, let's talk about, going back to sanctification for a minute, God's will for us. And we've talked about this before, but I want to go over it again. God's will for each and every one of us is to be sanctified. Okay. Oh, I didn't press the button. Sorry. Okay. In Leviticus, I'm going to read it from the King James Version, then I'll read the message that's on the screen. Leviticus says, "Sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be ye holy, for I am holy. I am the Lord your God, and ye shall keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord which sanctify you." I like the way the Message Bible puts it. Set yourselves apart to a holy life. It sounds like an action there. You have to set yourself apart. Live a holy life because I am God, your God. Do what I tell you to do. Live the way I tell you to. There's no ambiguity there. I am the God who makes you holy. First Thessalonians 5th chapter, 23rd verse, the Amplified Bible. "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you through and through." That is, separate you. Again, coming out from, removing, taking you from profane and vulgar things. Make you pure. See, he's not just taking you out. He's going to make you pure and whole, undamaged, consecrated to him. Set apart for his purpose. It's not just set apart, as we'll talk about the dishes, to sit in the cabinet. He has a purpose for each and every one of you. Whether you want to admit it or acknowledge it or not, God has a purpose for each and every one of you. I don't care who you are. That's why he wants you sanctified. Well, one of the reasons. I'll get to the other one later. And may your spirit and soul and body be kept complete and be found blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, when you were saved, you were justified in Christ. You were justified by faith. Sanctification, it's not, you're not sanctified by faith. You're justified by faith. Jesus did the work. You believe, you trust, you walk, you step into faith, you're justified. Now, as I mentioned a few weeks ago, you don't just sit down. You don't just come to church, sit down, I am now saved, I'm justified. Hallelujah. No. Now begins the process of sanctification. Hebrews 12, 14th verse, again amplified. Continually pursue peace with everyone. Pursue, like Sister Debbie mentioned, pursue. It gives the impression that you've got to chase after sanctification. You think about, see, we live in a fallen world, and just left by itself, things automatically decay. Things rust. If you don't do anything to it at all, it's just going to fall apart. And so you have got to actively pursue sanctification. Again, I mentioned earlier, Satan is coming to steal, kill, and destroy. He's not sitting there passively waiting. He's looking at you. He's studying you. So he's chasing after you. So unless you pursue sanctification, you won't attain it. And like the last part, without which no one will ever see the Lord. Ever. I like that. Ever see the Lord. You had any hope of seeing God, you've got to be sanctified. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. I didn't know about sanctification when I grew up. I grew up in a, I was raised in a Baptist church, a Methodist church, and a variety of other things. And I might have heard the word sanctified, but okay, yeah, you know, and holiness. But and when I moved to Florida, I heard about holiness, and I was told that you need to stay away from those people. But I didn't realize that God required me to be holy. That if I'm not holy, I will never see him. I will never be at peace with him in eternity if I'm not holy, sanctified. I'm like, oh, I get it now. And 1 Peter 1, now, there are quite a few scriptures. And the reason why we read a lot of scriptures is because you need the Word of God. They're on the handout. Read them, study. You've got to get the Word in you. This is what will transform you. This is what will change you. You take this Word. You meditate upon it. So that's why you get lots and lots of Scripture. If it's not Scripture, what are we doing? So anyway, 1 Peter, 1 chapter 13, verse through the 15. Therefore, again, action. And I keep saying the same point over and over again, and I guess it's because I've been in so many churches, and it doesn't seem like there's a lot of action in terms of pursuing God, pursuing holiness. It's almost as if I'm saved and that's enough, but that is not enough. And the Bible continues to tell us so. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to your former lusts, what you used to do, the way you used to live. You've come out from that. You're no longer a gambler, a smoker, or all these things. God delivered you from those things. You might not realize it yet, but he did. And so you're coming out from those because you were ignorant before. You did not know that. But now that you know, you're to come out. But as he called you as holy, again, we're commanded, you also be holy in all your conduct, not just in church, not just when you see a saint. Oh, I better straighten up. Oh, there's pastor over there. I better be good. No, all your conduct, wherever you are, at home, at work, all your conduct needs to be holy. We're on the same page? The reason why God wants us to be holy, again, he wants to be with us. And it's really, bottom line is, as I said before, he's in love with us. But because God is holy, he He can't be with something that's unclean. Period. You're dirty. I can't be with you. But I'm so much in love with you. What am I going to do? I'm going to die for you. I'm going to give you the opportunity so you can spend time, be with me, spend eternity with me. Ephesians 5 says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. This is why Jesus came. He loves us so much, and he knew we were dirty. There was no way we could be right. We couldn't do enough. We couldn't offer enough sacrifices. So what did he do? He came to sanctify us, to take us out of the dirt that we were in, and to cleanse us so that he can present to himself a glorious bride without spot or blemish or any such thing. When I married my wife, I'm not God, okay? So I'm not perfect. I'm full of all kind of flaws. So kind of bear with me in this analogy. When I married her, when I came to her and proposed, I was calling her out of the world of other guys. I was separating her to myself, leaving everything else behind. Now, she could choose whether or not she wanted to come with me or not. Her choice. I don't know. Still this day, I don't know why she said yes. But anyway. So she chose to leave all these other options. Guys who had tons of money, much better looking than I am, better opportunities, but she chose to follow. She came out from that, separated herself to me. And then, again, like I said, I'm not perfect. So she has to learn me. And she understands, okay, now, Dwayne's like things this way, and I'm going to do it this way because it pleases him. People might be on the outside looking, wait a minute, why do you do that? You don't need to do all that, girl. No, she does it because she's in love with me. Right. Sanctification is just like that. God is calling us out, and he's making us so that we can spend time with him. He did all of that for us. And now the sanctification part is us learning our God. What pleases my God? What do you like? What would you prefer? Not what I prefer, because I want to please you. I want him to be happy. And that is, in my opinion, the best part about sanctification is it just reminds me that God's in love with me. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So when you were saved, you became a new creature. New. The word creation there means, it's from the Greek, means original formation or form originally. Remember what we said earlier about, what was that? Sanctification, that other definition? Restored to its proper function. That's what regeneration is all about. Titus 3:5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Again, we are now a new creation and we're regenerated, brand new. But what does that mean, though? I mean, we're now a new creation. That means you were born again, so you're a new man, a new woman. What does that look like, though? Well, if you want to know what it really looks like, we have to go very back. We have to go all the way back to the beginning. And that's in Genesis, when God created man. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. This is what God originally intended man to look like. And notice there, it says in his image. Didn't say anything about gender or anything like that. It said in his image, and then he said male and female. Now, the word image is from the Hebrew meaning resemblance, a representative figure. It's an idea or a concept. In the exact likeness. So when God made us in his image, when he made Adam, this was in the image of God. Now God, of course, is a spirit, but he formed the body. This is my image. Interestingly enough, I mean, today we use the word gender a lot. And the word gender is from the Latin word genus, which means birth, origin, kind or type or class, you know, like they classify animals and plants and stuff like that. The word gender, the definition is either of two sexes, male or female, like they had to mention those. Anyway, either of two sexes, especially when considered with reference to social and cultural differences rather than biological ones. Okay, that sounds good. Now, the rest of the definition says the term is also used more broadly to denote a range of identities that do not correspond to established ideas of male or female. It also means the range of characteristics pertaining to and differentiating between masculinity and femininity. The reason I've mentioned this is because, again, we were made in God's image. And the world is slowly changing, trying to change the thinking of everybody. If you think about it, go back to the 60s, I believe it was, when prayer was taken out of school. That didn't happen overnight. This was a process. And then, next thing you know, prayer was out of school. And now, you know, it's, you know, you can't pray here. You can't. So Satan is really, he's very subtle. He'll slowly start doing things, getting people accustomed to certain concepts. And then he'll make change. Then other changes will come. Then other changes will come, leading people further and further, further away from God's ideal. Remember, we're made in God's image. So now we use the word gender a lot. What gender are you? Not male or female, gender. And like I said, on the surface, that doesn't sound bad. But as I start going on that rabbit hole, the word gender starts taking on different connotations. And right. Notice, and I want you to think about, or remember this. This is not anything new. Back in the Old Testament, they wrestled with the very same issues. The same spirit. It's just now kind of, it surprised us. We're like, oh my gosh. And it's because it's been kind of underground, so to speak, but now it's becoming more and more prevalent. The New York Times ran an article this past Sunday, and it stated that the Trump administration is considering narrowly defining gender as a biological immutable condition determined by genitalia at birth. It's the most drastic move yet in a government-wide effort to roll back recognition and protections on transgender people under federal civil rights law. A series of decisions by the Obama administration loosened the legal concept of gender. Notice the word gender is so much in our society now, you don't even think about it. So anyway, loosen the legal concept of gender in federal programs, including in education and healthcare. Recognizing gender, this is the current quote-unquote law, I guess you want to call it. It's not really a law, but recognizing gender largely as an individual's choice and not determined by sex assigned at birth. Now, if you go back here, I don't read where it says anything about choice. If I missed that, please point it out. But it says, God created man. And now I choose what I want. It's kind of like, and I've heard this analogy a lot and I like it, kind of like the iPhone choosing something. The iPhone never chooses anything. Its maker decided, this is what you will be. This is what you will do. The maker decided for the iPhone, these are the functions you will have. Period. The iPhone has no say in it. If it does anything else, it's not owned by the manufacturer. So we are made in the image of God. What does this have to do with personal holiness? Everything. This is the foundation. You have to know who you are. How did God originally make you? What was his original intention for man? The Department of Health and Human Services, they're backing the adoption of a uniform definition of gender. Because Again, they wanted things to be narrowly defined. This is a man and this is a woman. There's a lot of pushback on that. And you remember a couple years ago, all the excitement and drama over same-sex bathrooms and stuff like that. That hasn't gone away. It's not going to go away. This is the world we live in. This is why it's so important for us to come out from among them and be separate. Not because we're better, but because we are God's chosen. Now, this is a health assessment questionnaire. We had open enrollment at work where we have to do our, you know, benefits. These questions were, at the time, optional. I said at the time. Now, ask me in a couple years what is going to happen. Anyway, I get to choose whether I'm a man. Again, choose whether I'm a man or a woman, transgender, or I do not identify as a man or a woman or transgender. And then I write in, what sex was I assigned at birth? And I bring this out to let you know this is where the world is now. And we're going down this path. Your children are exposed to this. Ignite, you guys are being exposed to this. And when you start having children and families of your own, this is going to be so ingrained in society, it's going to be quote unquote normal. We have to be ready for this. But, and this is the challenge for us. And this is still part of holiness. We have to show love. Our job is not to condemn. Jesus didn't come to condemn the world, but to save the world. We are his, so our job is not to condemn. We're supposed to show love. I mean, it's really easy, and I hear this a lot where people, you know, they quote unquote bash or hate on people who are dealing with these issues. But a lot of people are confused. Satan is the author of confusion. If you're not covered under the blood, your brain is not. This is why you guard the gates. This happens in churches. People who are walking with God, why? They're not guarding their minds. They're opening their gates up to different things, subjecting their minds to different, and slowly but surely, it won't happen overnight. But over time, they watched this one thing, or read this one thing, or hung out with this one particular person. And over time, you know, you end up confused. Well, I feel weird and odd and unusual. What I'm saying is, it can happen to anybody. Kind of like, I mean, we're talking about this, but is lying a sin? How about adultery? How about a fornication? Same thing. These are all sins. These will all forbid you from getting into God's presence. So our job, again, like I said, is to love. To show love to everybody. Because when people come in the doors of this church, they're going to come from all walks of life. They are looking, desperately looking for something different. I want a better life. They might not even know it. But they're looking. And if we look at them with a condemning attitude or judgmental attitude, why would I want to go to that? Why would I want to serve that God? So we have to know who we are, and we have to realize I need to show love. I will say this, and then I'll move on. This is, and it, to me, it's really sensitive because the people who are wrestling with this, they feel it. They're confused. They don't know what to do. They don't know where to turn. So they go to someone who loves them or gives them the support they need. And they think it's, they don't realize that it's the spirit that's really plaguing them and bothering them. Just like a lot of people, they don't accept the fact that, you know, back a long, long time ago, depression was just one of those taboo things. You never talked about being depressed. And now, of course, you can take pills for it and you're good, supposedly. They don't realize there's a spirit associated with that either. We've grown to the point where we kind of accept that a little bit, but we haven't come to the point where we accept. Bottom line is, all of these things are influenced by spirits. This is why we have got to know who we are and where we stand. If there's any doubt in your mind, then you can't stand for truth. If there's any question in your mind, that's why you've got to read the Word. That's why you've got to study the Word. That's why you have to come, talk, fellowship with one another so we can grow together. Does this make sense? Now, the latter part of this verse says, male and female, he made them. He definitely made us different, deliberately and on purpose. This was God's original plan. This is his original plan for us. There was an order behind what he was doing. The world is trying to homogenize things, make it acceptable for you to do. And it sounds good on the surface. You know, well, I should be able to do what I want to do. And this is one of the great things about God. You can do whatever you want to do. Now, this is his way. There's a saying, his way or the highway. You know, my way or the highway. That's the way it is with God. This is his way. You walk in his way, and he'll protect you. He'll take care of you. He will love you. If you don't walk his way, you now walked out of his protection. That is your choice. Any of us can make that choice and decision. I guess the point I'm really making is, regardless of your former lifestyle or even your current lifestyle, you have to realize you have been made in the image of God. Image, likeness, not gender, not choice. God deliberately made you a man. He made you a woman for a reason and a purpose. Now it's up to us to choose, Lord, what is that purpose for me? It's not a matter of, okay, my job is just to, I need to get a job. I need to get married. Lord, what do you want? He made you, right? If he made you, does he have some say over your life? If he's our Lord. Our separateness, our holiness, it begins with the fact, now keep going over this, you are in God's image. Get that in your spirit. When you look in the mirror, I don't care what you think. Look in the mirror. I have been made in the image of God. Well, my nose looks weird, or my eyes are kind of, I am made in the image of God. Lord, now what? That's the best place to be. This is what you made me, Lord. Now what do I do? What do you want me to do? How do I proceed from here? Once you've got that foundation, now we can go forward. We're talking about personal holiness. You know what the word personal means? It means affecting or belonging to a particular person, or concerning one's private life, relations, and emotions. So holiness isn't just a piece of you. To be holy, separated to God, it's a complete package deal. My hand isn't just saved. It's not just my foot that's saved. It's not my mouth. My whole body, my whole being is saved. God wants my whole being sanctified, set apart for him. He doesn't want to just use my mouth. I want Dwayne to praise me on Sunday, but on Monday he can, you know, cuss and do whatever he wants to do. No, all of this is God's. That's what I mean by personal holiness. So when you think about personal holiness, what does that mean to you personally? God's a very personal God. Yes, he's in love with the church. He's in love with us as individuals. He's concerned about you, where you are right now, personally. He wants you personally separated to him. Again, what does that look like? Now, I'm not going to answer these questions. Let me make that clear. So I don't want you to be like, get all excited and disappointed. I want you to start thinking, because consider this an introduction, the personal holiness, because there's so much to this. I don't have enough time, and it's just not appropriate at this moment. But I want you to start thinking about, what does holiness look like on me? I have some questions on your handout, and that's one of them. What does holiness look like on me? When I grew up, and I'm going to skip to the last one a little bit, but last question, but after I started hearing about holiness, all I heard about was, you know, those holiness people. You know, the women wear these long dresses, they got this long hair and stuff, and the guys, their shirts are all buttoned up, and they, you know, that was holiness. That's what I thought. That's what I kept hearing. Okay, good. Holiness. But after I got saved and started reading the Word of God, I started realizing, well, is that holiness? And then I started hearing about, well, being holy means you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't go bowling, you can't do... So holiness then was a list of rules, right? So here's my question. Is holiness a list of rules? Is marriage a list of rules? When you get married, you get this long list of rules. Okay, this is what you must do. Or let me ask you this question. Just because I come home at 6 o'clock, does that mean I'm married? Just because I wash clothes or dishes, does that mean I'm married? I'm just saying, if I do these things, does that make me married? So holiness is the same way. I can follow a list of rules, but am I holy? Really? So, again, what does holiness mean to you? What does it mean for me to be separated to God? Again, this is personal. I'm not going to even attempt to answer this. This is something you need to start thinking about, meditating on. God, what does this mean to you? If I'm really separated to you, what does that look like in my life at home? Now, my friends might know I go to church. Okay, that's cool. That's fine. But does that mean I'm really separated to God? Am I really separate? Am I holy? Is holiness different for different people? These are questions we need to start thinking about. Because God has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Again, he's in love with us. When I married my wife, obviously she didn't know a whole lot about me, you know, a little bit, but she had to learn me. She had to learn what I liked, what I didn't like. She had to learn why, because she was in love with me. It goes back to that L word again. It's amazing what you do for love. I mean, any of us who were married and you're in love, what have you done for love? Don't answer that question. Right. Love really makes you some amazing things. And if you're not married and don't understand, that's what Jesus did for love. The beatings, the abuse he took. And here's the best part. He knew what was going to happen to him, and he did it anyway. Why? Because I love you just that much. And this is the beginning of our walk with sanctification, when we start realizing it really is all about love. I know this is, this might kind of leave you kind of hanging, a cliffhanger kind of thing, but you need to start thinking about this. What do you want with God? Do you want to just be saved? God doesn't want you just saved. My wife doesn't want to just call me husband. She wants me to be her husband. God doesn't want to just call you his child. He wants you to be his child. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." See, here's the thing. God is calling you out. He loves you, and he wants to spend time with you. But it's not just for you. You are to represent him to the whole world. So when people look at you, they need to see not the world's definition of Christian. They need to see holiness. They need to see a disciple of God. Here's another question I didn't put on my paper, but for you to think about. When they see you, do they see holiness? When they look at you, when they listen to you, can they say, something's different about them? They might not know the holiness word or sanctification, but can they see something different about you? Or, they're just like any other Christian or like any other person. But you are God's ambassador. You know, ambassadors are pretty cool. They go to other countries. They represent the country they came from. They look different. Some of them have different outfits on. And you know, wait, they're not from around here. And they're proud of the fact that I represent my country. I'm from Zimbabwe, I'm from Japan or whatever. Yes, in my country, and of course, we're really quick to say, well, you're not in your country. But you're missing the point. They represent their country. We represent God. I represent Him. Wherever I go, I need to remember, I represent Him. I remember, and I didn't understand this as a child, you know, growing up and your parents are like, you know, straighten up, clean your face, because you represent me. Whatever. What does that mean? When you grow up and have children, you understand now. Oh, yeah. Because they're going to say, oh, that's your child, huh?
That's right.
Same way with us. People look at us. Oh, you're a Christian? You serve God? Well, okay. Well, anyway, that's what they do too. So why do I need to change? What makes your God so special? But if I'm holy, if I'm set apart, God, and allow God to continue to change me and transform me. Like this might not happen instantly, and it won't. It's a process. But if you stay in the process, over time, you will be made into the image of God, perfect and clean and pure. Brother Frank was preaching about this the other week about clay. When I worked with clay a long time ago, now I don't know what it's like nowadays, but you put it on the wheel, right? And you got the wheel spinning, got this lump of clay. You had to put water on it. Okay, so this clay had to be baptized. Right? So you could work with it. But it wasn't just, you didn't just stop then, because if it dried out, you couldn't work with it anymore. So you had to keep putting water on it. The Spirit and the Word. The Spirit and the Word. The Spirit and the Word. So it could be molded and shaped and prepared. That's what we're supposed to do. Stay on the wheel. Stay immersed in the Word of God. Immersed in the Spirit of God, being transformed, being sanctified so that He can use us. Because now that He's shaped me and molded me, now He can put me in the fire. Now I can be tried. Yeah. Finally, again, if you don't like the word ambassador, okay, fine. Jesus said this, you are the light of the world. I could stop right there. You are the light of the world. What kind of light are you? A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. It does you no good to hide that light. If you're saved, you're filled with God's Spirit, you are the light. You are the light of the world. The light of your community, the light of your household, the light of wherever you are. Now, do you hide that light? Well, I don't want you to know I'm a Christian, because then you won't think I'm cool. You won't hang out with me. I can't go out with the fellas if you realize I'm a Christian. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. You represent Jesus. Wherever you go, you need to represent Jesus, period. And whether you realize it or not, if you are saved, you do represent Jesus. The question is it a good representation or a bad representation? And you can change that. You sit down now and realize, you know what? I have been a very poor example. My light has been flickering at best. You can change that. And that's what this whole thing is all about, is learning, okay, Lord, I want to be used by you. I want to be set apart so you can use me. I want this. This is sanctification. This is personal holiness. It's all about your walk with God. The word says, many are called, but few are chosen. I struggled with that verse for a long time. God's calling everybody. He doesn't want anybody lost. But to be chosen, that means I have to choose to be sanctified so He can choose me. He's calling me out, so okay, I'm saved. Now, for Him to use me, I got to be sanctified. I have to allow Him to change me and cleanse me. Once I allow that, now He can choose me. He's not going to choose me if I'm not sanctified. If I'm not holy, set apart for His purpose, purify, cleanse. Why would He choose me when He can choose? Oh, that person's clean. That person's trying. He's pursuing me. Remember I said pursue holiness? So that person is pursuing holiness. Okay, I can use that one. This one is not pursuing holiness. They're pursuing whatever. Whatever distraction of today, whether it's basketball, social media, what have you. And when I say these things, I don't want you to think, yes, I have arrived. God knows I have not arrived, but I am pursuing. I am pursuing. Every day I get up, Lord, I want to be better. Lord, make me into the man you want me to be. Let me think the thoughts that you think. Let me speak your words. If I do anything wrong or say anything wrong, forgive me, Lord. I want to be better every day. Here's the thing. And I think this was on your notes as well, one of the questions. Are you holier last year than you were this year? And that, like I said, again, that's a personal question. Those are questions you can answer on your in your leisure. But think about that. How holy were you last year? Were you more set apart to God last year? This year, where are you? And we talk about New Year's and all the people set their resolutions. Would you like to be holier next year? More set apart for God's use. Remember, you won't ever see God without holiness. So this is just to get you thinking about what holiness is all about. What does it mean to me? How do I look holy? Let's stand and just praise God and thank Him for His word, what He's doing in us.